The cross at Hendaye, do you think there was a specific reason for making it, or do you think it was just a great piece of monument artwork?
Well, I think actually, and there's a lot of evidence to back this up, that it was a series or succession of monuments that may have even existed in the same exact area going back thousands of years, and then every 300 or 400 years, because of erosion and things, it's recut and redone. And in fact, if someone doesn't make a new monument in Hendaye, the current monument will be completely eroded in about 50 years. So it's either the end of time, or it's time to remake the monument, or it's time to forget the symbology on the monument and just go on. However, I think that the symbols and what the cross is trying to tell us is so important that this society left it behind for us to discover and decipher and release the information at the proper time.
What do you think it was or is?
Well, there's the thing about the cross of Hendaye, and I'm going into this in the book I'm writing next, is that you can go around the cross and go through the symbols, and each time, just like the book Mystery of the Cathedrals, it turns into a completely different explanation of a odd science called alchemy. And it each turn around the cross opens up a new facet of this ancient science. And so I think that it is a very, very clever, a very clever vehicle that is put there to first attract the curious seeker. So the person who's already begins looking at the cross is already of a kind of ilk, a curious person, and also maybe bent towards trying to understand ancient knowledge and symbols. And from there, the person literally is transmuted or initiated into a profound knowledge that seems to permeate through every traditional culture on Earth. At the time that Fulcanelli was writing, John Woodward, who also known as Arthur Avalon, was translating the Hindu tantric text just north of Paris. And I believe that they probably knew each other. And I think that everyone was beginning to compare notes from the Hindus and from the Buddhists and from the Tibetans and the Peruvian shamans and even the Mexican Aztec and Mayan people. And as they began to compare notes, they began to realize that they had clear-cut evidence of a worldwide civilization once that left behind a series of markers, information, star knowledge, knowledge of how to watch for a danger, a possible danger from outer space, and also the cycles, the four great cycles, or the four worlds, or the four ages, depending on which culture you're investigating.
Now, what do you mean by dangers from outer space? Asteroid type or something else?
Lots of things. It could be a series of disasters. One of the disasters that I came up against was the Paul LaViolette's work on the center of the galaxy having a periodic blow-off, which sends lots of matter and radiation outwards. And also there's just strange gravitational things that happen when there are eclipses. And so what happens when you have the ultimate eclipse, which is the center of the galaxy eclipsing with the sun, as will happen on the solstice of 2012, and what the cross seems to be indicating. And I think that gravity is relative, and I think there could actually be a small shift in the gravitational field of the Earth. It may already be happening, actually. There's a lot of evidence to say that it's beginning to happen. And I think that this in itself gives birth to a different way of life, a different feeling on Earth, and we're not quite as weighted down. And so I'm not sure exactly what is happening. I know that Fulcanelli and the Cross of Hendaye go out of their way to tell us that the upper cross is indicating the center of the galaxy, and the pedestal on the cross is indicating our solar system. and that when they become in alignment, when the sun and the center of the galaxy come into alignment, that's when the shift of the ages happens. Curiously, this same time period, there is a great cross in the sky, and the crossing is between Leo and Aquarius.
Really? Okay,
and Scorpio, yes, and Taurus, which are the four signs found in John's Apocalypse and in Ezekiel, the angel, the lion, the bull, and the eagle, which is Scorpio. And so it seems as if the Christians, and I believe that Christianity is the religion of the apocalypse, or the religion, the last religion of the Iron Age. It's the religion that tries to prepare us for the end of the age. And again, remember, I'm not saying the end of the world, I'm saying the end of the age. And we are going into Aquarius right now. So the whole thing is very curious and strange. And when you dig into Freemasonic knowledge, you find that the same symbols appear all through their the plethora of their writings and knowledge and in their initiation chambers, which I've been to in France and England. So this thing, they seem to have a fixation on when these four signs line up, or when we pass into one of these four quadrants of the zodiac. And there seems to be a lot of historical linkage for this. For instance, 6,500 years ago in the precession of the equinoxes, we were in the age of Taurus, and that just happens to be when cattle domestication came in.
Sure.
It happens
yeah.
to be when walled cities, which means war, frankly, began rising up in Mesopotamia. And 13,000 years ago, or exactly halfway through the processional cycle ago, at the age of Leo, we have the incredible extinctions of woolly mammoths and tree sloths and saber-toothed tigers, and great climactic changes. And it's also curious that the Sphinx, of which Fulcanelli calls our attention to from the beginning of the book, and tells us that the Sphinx controls the science. The Sphinx is a lion and it's facing east. When Leo is in the sun, when the sign of Leo is in the sun, that's the time of the great change. Well, that's now, when the Earth is in Aquarius.